Sometimes, when I'm at a McDonald's, I wait until nobody's looking, and then I stick my hand inside the straw dispenser and touch all the straws.
Secrets.
I've reinvented my image so many times that I'm in denial that I was originally an overweight Korean woman.
I'm disappointed. I was told you might appear wearing the Little Richard jacket.
And the Rolling Stones are opening up for him. It's the first time they ever saw him. And they weren't really very well known. There's about six kids rushed to the front, you know. That was their fan base at the time. Everybody was there for Little Richard. I think Bo Diddley was on the show and all that. And it was priceless. I'd never seen anything so rebellious in my life. Some guy yells out, "Get your hair cut!" And Mick says, and I'll never forget these words, "Well, I look like you."
How do we honor David Bowie? He really has. That was the first part, was him on Conan talking about reinventing. I mean, everyone associates the term reinvention with Madonna, but I'm sorry, Bowie started it. Bowie, well, he's one of the few who started it. If you think of Moon Age Daydream, those lyrics, "I'm an alligator," to "Gene Genie," to "The Thin White Duke," to "Let's Dance," to at my personal favorite, "Ashes to Ashes." Welcome to the Dr. Seuss Film Podcast. So, timing is weird, and in 2016. January 8th was David Bowie's birthday. He releases an album called Black Star. What we didn't know is that he would die 2 days later on January 10th, 2016. I'll never forget it. And a friend of the show, Kevin, texts me. He texts me in the funny way that he usually did, and said, "I'm stunned you didn't tell me." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" And he said, "You usually tell me when someone really well known dies." And I said, "Who died?" And he said, "David Bowie." And I went, "No." And I'd been taking a nap. I think I was watching Sherlock. And there it was. David Bowie, dead at 69 from cancer. There's a really great documentary out called Moon Age Daydream about David Bowie. I haven't watched it yet. He was an actor. He was a performer. He was a mime. He was funny. I mean, he nailed that Mick Jagger impression in that clip. And even when he couldn't really do an accent in a movie, like when he was playing David Bowie, when I'm tired, when he was playing Andy Warhol in Basquiat, about Jean-Michel Basquiat, and he really couldn't nail Warhol's accent, and you could still hear David Bowie. Oh my God. It was really good also in The Prestige. Oh my goodness, playing Nikola Tesla. So he was an actor, he was a performer, he was an artist, he was this chameleon. And anytime he did something new differently, musically or acting-wise, you were just in awe. And I never got to see him on tour. And I remember I knew a girl in college, she told me she saw him on tour and she was disappointed because it wasn't the 70s, it wasn't the look and the Ziggy Stardust, and it was just Bowie, the performer, naked as a performer, because he had nothing to hide behind, but I never felt he was hiding behind it. That was his performance. And he was born David Robert Jones, Davy Jones, and decided to change it to Bowie. The 1960s, he was finding himself, and then he did Space Oddity in 1969, but it wasn't until 1972 that Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars were born, and how he really looked as a performer to distance himself, because he often joked that he did away with the 60s with his sound. And it was new and it was fresh, and how he had been influenced by the writing of Syd Barrett of Pink Floyd. And I love when he says, "There's something quite not with us about Syd Barrett, but I loved his writing." And I remember watching that one time, my mother's walking around, she's like, "Oh my God, that coming from David Bowie?" And it's like, yeah. Ah, Bowie. Bowie. Toward the end of his life, he put out an album in 2003, and then he did a tour, and then he had the heart attack. And then we didn't hear from him. And then in 2013, Where Are We Now? The first single was released on his birthday. And thus became this reveal. It was usually his birthday he would put out a single or an album, and he put out the next day. And either it was the next day or Black Star, they were working on it, and they said, "Well, how are we going to do this live?" And he says, "We're not going to," because he did not want to tour ever again, probably for health reasons. It was around 2015, Bowie was writing songs for a Broadway musical based on SpongeBob SquarePants cartoon. The final production included a retooled version of No Control from Outside. Bowie wrote and recorded the opening title song to the television series The Last Panthers, which aired on November 2015. The theme was used from The Last Panther, was all the title track for his January 2016 release Black Star, which is said to take cues from her earlier Quadrock influenced work. According to the Times, Black Star may be the oddest work yet from Bowie. On December 7th, 2015, Bowie's musical Lazarus debuted in New York. His last public appearance was at the opening night of the production. Black Star was released on January 8th, 2016, Bowie's 69th birthday, and met with critical acclaim. His producer, Tony Visconti, revealed that Bowie had planned the album to be a swan song and a parting gift for his fans before his death. Several reporters and critics subsequently noted that most of the lyrics on the album seemed to revolve around his impending death. Well, yeah, because he knew at first, you know, the cancer was in remission, and then it came back. So he was living truly on borrowed time. That is a human experience. As, you know, everyone's going to die one day. And here's David Bowie, who controlled every aspect of his career and subsequently his life. And here he was controlling that art form that he did so well. And he knew when the time was going to be. That's it. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. He wrote the song Ashes to Ashes, Come On. But as a performer and as an icon, when he was alive, he was an icon. He was this enigma. There was so much to Bowie that we didn't know. And I like that. I like that there would be little nuggets that he would leave for us, Easter eggs, as we call it now, here at the Dr. Seuss Film Podcast. Because he wasn't just an a singer. He was a performer. He was an actor. He was a mime at one point. He was a comedian. He knew how to get his audience. He joked and said, it took me all of the 60s to kind of find my way, which is true. And he had the meeting with Warhol in the 70s. And then, you know, how funny is he develops a Ziggy Stardust. And then he becomes this really great producer. And he has two performers from two legendary bands that ended too early, too soon. And that was Iggy Pop and the Stooges. He produced Raw Power. Or no, did he? No, he didn't. He produced Iggy's solo albums, The Idiot and Lust for Life. And then Lou Reed of Velvet Underground. He produced Lou's breakout solo album, which is Transformer. And you can hear David Bowie on Satellite for Love singing background vocals and Take a Walk on the Wild Side and Perfect Day. Oh my God. So he wasn't just this artist, but he was a fan of music first and foremost. And to give that to Bowie, I mean to Lou Reed, whom I absolutely loved, and then to Iggy Pop, that those Berlin years where they went to Germany because they wanted to get clean off of drugs and just make art and make music. And, you know, there Bowie did Heroes and Low. And Heroes is such an iconic song. And the meaning of it always changes. And of course, Let's Dance. And there's so many eras to Bowie. That's the thing with these bands and these performers, is their eras and how they are able to revisit it. And he'd often said that he felt like that was other lifetimes, you know, whether it's Gene Genie or the Thin White Duke or Ziggy Stardust, and, you know, go back and sing those songs with feeling. And but as a performer, as an icon, and I remember that night after hearing it, that he had died, just sitting up and watching CNN all night long and just taking in the news and the information and listening to the songs and watching the videos. And that one song that he put out in 2013, I'd Rather Be High. And it's like, whoa. And then the song the next day, and then the video. He really knew his energy and his worth as a performer. And so when he died, it truly was stunning. It was shocking. And here is this chameleon who delighted and intrigued us with his art, all facets of it, dies days after his birthday and after his final album. And there's been some things said about that, about that I don't want to touch on, because I don't think that's any of our business to obsess over his death or obsess. Did he know, you know, in terms of the time? And but he was a performer, and he knew first and foremost, doing what he did best, that he could put out this final collection called The Black Star with Lazarus, which is such a beautiful video and song, very evocative. And then to put out the single, or I'm sorry, Black Star and Lazarus, the two videos. Lazarus, Black Star came first. It was this, oh my God, this very provocative, long piece, and it won him a Grammy, posthumously. But it was Lazarus that really stunned people. And the lyrics where he's singing, you know, about mortality. And he's in a bed. And then how he's got the same clothes on that he wore in Station to Station. And how he comes out of the wardrobe. And then toward the end of the video, he goes back into the wardrobe. And so those are the Easter eggs and those are the nuggets that Bowie was really good at that. And it's the music that we talk about, and the art and the films and the videos. And so as a performer, he knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. And it became his swan song, truly did. And that was perfectly planned by him and his team. So, yeah. 2016 was a weird year. We lost a lot of well-known people, and it began with the loss of Bowie. Lemmy a couple of weeks before, but Bowie. Bowie really, and then Prince months later. And so on January 10th, 2016, 7 years ago, David Bowie died. And we celebrate him. We always will. His foibles, his, you know, there's been a lot said about Bowie. His indiscretions, and it's like, we're talking about the music and the acting. And so usually I would do Unpleasant Dreams toward the end of the show, but because I really enjoyed Bowie, oh my god, anytime he was gonna do something, it was like, yeah. And I'm gonna leave you with his final film from 2006, Unpleasant Dreams. Wherever you are, David Bowie, thank you.
So, this is the great Denton. Mr. Ellie has effused about your acting on any number of occasions. Hold out the other hand.
What's conducting the electricity?
Our bodies, Mr. Angier, are quite capable of conducting and indeed producing energy. Have you eaten, Mr. Angier?
I need something impossible.
You are familiar with the phrase, man's reach exceeds his grasp. It's a lie. Man's grasp exceeds his nerve. Society only tolerates one change at a time. First time I tried to change the world, I was hailed as a visionary. Second time, I was asked politely to retire. So here I am, enjoying my retirement. Nothing is impossible, Mr. Angier. What you want is simply expensive. If I were to build for you this machine, you would be presenting it merely as illusion?
Well, if people actually believe the things I did on stage, they wouldn't clap, they'd scream. Think of sawing a woman in half.
Mr. Angier, have you considered the cost of such a machine?
Price is not an object.
Perhaps not, but have you considered the cost?
I'm not sure I follow.
Go home. Forget this thing. I can recognize an obsession. No good will come of it.
Well, hasn't good come of your obsessions?
At first, but I followed them too long. I am their slave. And one day they will choose to destroy me.
If you understand an obsession, then you know you won't change my mind.
So be it.
Will you build it?
I've already begun to build it, Mr. Angier. I hope you enjoy the mountain air. This will take some time.
I have seen Edison's men.